this side of the church to look at this side of the church? Because apparently this side is more full. And so I don't know if you guys drove them to this side or they like each other better on this side, but you guys need to get more friends. So our scripture today is from Ephesians. It's 4:25, and then it goes through 5-2. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not give the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So I called this a new life, because what it does is it gives each of us an opportunity to start over. And so when we ask for God's forgiveness, this would be a series of things that we would want to change in our lives. And the first thing he talks about is no more falsehoods. So for us, we would think of that as lies. Now there's lies of speech where you just say something that's not true. I was at a dinner last night and we were talking about not so much a lie of speech, but we just want to fill in the blanks. And someone said, somebody asked me a question and I thought I knew the answer, and so I just started saying it. But then about halfway through I went, I'm not really sure that's true, but it didn't stop me from talking. And so sometimes we say things that we think are right, but we're not sure they're right. But since somebody asked us a question, we want to fill in the blanks. And so what I'm suggesting to you, it's okay sometimes to go, I don't really know. Or I know about this, but I don't know about all these other things you're bringing up. And the other part of this is when you don't say anything, but you know the truth. Or you know what really happened. And instead of correcting someone, especially if it's a falsehood, you just don't say anything. And sometimes that's hard. So the problem with being here early and me talking to you, it means anything you say to me is free game in the message. Sorry, Dale. And so he and I were talking, and he said that in groups, is this okay? Thanks, okay. Since I've started down this road, I better ask permission. He said in groups, when he doesn't know them, it's easy to talk in front of people. But when he knows people better, it's harder. And part of that harder is everybody knows about you. And you know them, so you want everything to be okay. I think that silence sometimes is we know somebody, we know what they're saying is not exactly correct, but either because out of respect for them, because we know them, because they know us, we decide not to really get them in the right place. And it's harder often with people you know than with people you don't know. Because if you don't know them and they don't like what you said, you didn't know them, and so there's no real challenge there. But it's harder when we know them. The other thing he talks about anger. And I talked about this a little bit last week when I talked about there's the right kind of anger and the wrong kind of anger. And how many of you think of Jesus as being this real peaceful guy and everything was okay with him and never got angry? That's not him. I mean, he was upset in the apple cart on a regular basis. When he goes to the temple, and this was a sermon I gave several months ago, and then he finds out that the people are getting cheated because they're charging them too much for the animals and they're charging them too much to change the coin. He gets so angry, he tips over the table, causes a commotion. And he did that not because he was angry. He did it because the people were being cheated. The people that were coming in there that didn't really have an option to get another animal to sacrifice or to change their money for their offering, they were being taken advantage of. Those same things happened to us. The people that several hundred years ago said it's not right to have a slave trade. Now the question is, we don't want to be angry just to be angry, because if we're just angry all the time at something that happens in our lives, I just think it causes people to become bitter, where they get angry at everybody and everything. And it's the person that told me about Fido here today, Forget It, Drive On. I cannot remember who it was that started that. I've made my motto Forget It, Drive On for everything now. If somebody does something that really bothers me, I just go Fido. Forget it, drive on. Whether you're walking or not. Because if you can't do anything about it, if they're not going to be a different person, if you've talked to them, just don't let it bother you. Doesn't mean you're not going to go back and try to talk to them again, but don't let that bitterness that they may have cause bitterness in you. The other thing they talk about is don't let the sun set on anger that you have. So when we were talking about role models, when my sister and I were young, there was a lady that lived about a block from us, and she watched us after school and in the summertime. And you know, when you're little, you don't have any concept of people's age, but I think she was in her 60s when she watched us when we were in our early elementary. So to us, she was really old. There couldn't have been a nicer person in the whole entire world. She was just as nice a person as you've ever wanted to meet. And she told a story one time. So how many of you remember the game Aggravation? Her husband got pretty fancy. He made the boards out of countertops. I mean, they were serious aggravation players. And they had two friends that would come over and play. And one day we went there after school and she seemed sad. And, you know, I said, you're supposed to, if something seems wrong, you're supposed to ask. When they say nothing, you're supposed to ask again. And I don't remember if I asked twice, but I knew something's wrong. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, well, and I don't remember the name of the lady now. She said, they came over to play aggravation last night. And you know, the whole point of aggravation is to get your marbles in, which means you get to send the other person marbles back. And she said, we were playing and I sent her back and she thought I did it with a little bit too much enthusiasm. And she got mad, like really mad, stood up, got her husband by the hand and they walked out of the house. She goes, we have been friends forever. And she was so mad at me. She said, I called her this morning and she said I was going to apologize because I didn't think I did anything wrong, but if I had to apologize to make it better, that's what I was going to do. And she said, her husband answered and said, she passed away last night. And she said, I'm not mad at her, but she said, it bothers me so much that our last time, she said, we've been friends forever, that our last time together, she was so mad at me. And she said, you know, maybe she didn't feel good last night. And she said, but it bothers me that that's the way our relationship ended. And so we don't be mad. I mean, they talk about if you're having trouble with your spouse, don't go to bed angry. I don't know about you. Sometimes that's a little harder than other times. But, and I'm usually the problem too, just so we're clear. Especially if she watches this video, because I don't want her to think it was her fault. But you never know. On ESPN, when someone's hurt, they'll go their day to day. Hey, we're all day to day. None of us know what tomorrow, even this afternoon, is going to bring. And so don't be angry with somebody. And he talks about slander, but it's that same thing, being angry, talking ill of someone. And then 2,000 years ago, apparently it was pretty routine that people were going to try to cheat you. It was just like the way of the world. If they could put their, so if you think of it in terms of the old joke about the meat market where he puts his thumb on the scale, they would put both thumbs on the scale if they could. It was just kind of expected that whoever you're dealing with was going to try to cheat you. And so what he's saying here is, if you're a dishonest worker, you need to change. You need to change the way you deal with people. And I think we often don't think when people are dishonest and arrested and their name's in the paper and all the stuff that goes with that, we often think of the person, but I don't think we think of the family. And so because I was a banker, apparently, I had several people that I worked with that one way or the other decided to take stuff. And in the bank, that usually means you're taking money. And sometimes you're taking the bank's money, sometimes you're taking somebody else's money, but they're taking money. And so I had a friend, the couple ran around with us about, he'd left and went to another bank, and I was at another bank, and he got caught making up loans. And so he lost his job. But his wife still lived in the place we don't talk about, in that community. And so we had a child. I don't remember which one it was, but we had a boy or a girl that was the same age, and we were band parents. Any band parents here? Yeah, it means you know all the kids' parents because everybody that was a band parent. And we were so lucky the way the girls' ages fell, we got to do it for 13 years straight, okay? And so you knew these people really well. And so when the last one was a senior, they decided to have a party. And so the parents are there, and she and I had never really talked about what happened with him. I mean, we ran into each other, we knew each other, and this is, you know, like 10 or 12 years later, but we'd never talked about it. And so at this last night, we're going to be band parents together, she brings it up. And she said, "Hey, I understand that you thought this was going on." And I said, "Well, yeah, I don't know who told you that, but that's true." And she talked about that day. And how, you know, he went to work that day and everything was fine. And when he came back, he said, "I've been embezzling money. I'm probably going to go to prison." They end up not staying married. And so it changed their whole lives by what he decided to do. And I think we often don't think about what we may do for whatever reason that he made those decisions. We don't understand how it affects our family. And so I'll tell you from my point of view, when you work with someone that gets caught doing that, and you thought you were pretty good friends, and you thought you knew them, and they would be the last person in the world that would steal or embezzle or whatever they did, it is crushing to you. Because you had trust in them. And we don't talk about that. And so this whole idea of changing, becoming honest, part of it's for you, but part of it is the way it affects your family and friends and coworkers. And I think often we don't think of that when we see somebody doing something that you're not supposed to do. The other thing he talks about is foul-mouthed speaking, which I think we probably would think, oh, he's cursing, using inappropriate words. But yesterday, I was at a Kiwanis meeting, and they had a guy named Jason Wright, who was the speaker, and he writes a little books, and I got one. Next Sunday, if you want to come, it's going to be the message. But what he talked about was not so much the way we speak, but the way we relate to people. So how many people did I let in the door today? Yeah, if you came in this door, except for the people that tried to come in that door, and when they saw me, snuck around to that door, so I had to race around the church to get there. One of the things he talked about is, do we see people? Or do we just not pay attention? And then he said, once we see them, do we love them? And then do we lift them up? I think that's really what this is more about. I was thinking about it yesterday when he was talking. It's not so much that the way we talk with people, it's do we find a way to bring them up? So I give Anita a hard time whenever she giggles at something I say, because it's usually about my age or my lack of hair follicles. I recognize that I've gotten older. I don't know who the guy is in the mirror that I see every day, because he looks exactly the same to me. But some of my friends I went to high school with, whoo, doggies, are they old. Really old. I don't understand how that happened to them and I stay the same. And probably the same stuff happens to you. And I talked last week about my friend Mike Nealis, and he and I played golf again this week, so I got to harangue him for another 4 hours. It was just like somebody asked me what kind of week I had, and I told him a couple things, but for 4 hours, he and I just got to harangue each other. It was so much fun. And so that giggling, laughing stuff that we do sometimes, it just makes us feel better. And so we have this kind of relationship whereby that teasing each other, we lift each other up in a way that probably anyone else in my life that we like to just poke fun and just tease each other for that whole time. I think that's what this is really about. It's how we uplift people, how we bring them up, however that we need to do that. And for each of us, and it's different for other people, because you have one friend. So Mike and I just tease each other the whole time we're playing golf. It is the most fun in the whole entire world. And so this is a golfing inside joke. I made him play the back tees. On this one hole, he hit the ball really well, but the tees were back so far he didn't get it to the woman's tee. I might have mentioned it to him several times that day. And at the same time, we let a lady in a cart play through us. And she said, "Are you sure you want me to play through?" And I said, "Yeah, he can't even hit it past the tees you're playing from. His ball's back here. He's going to have to hit a second time before you get to hit once." She goes, "Well, why is that?" And I go, "Well, A, he's not very good, and B, we played from way back there." He said, "I hit it fine." But that way of expressing fun, sharing, it uplifts me. I don't know about him. You'd have to ask him. But it uplifts me to spend the day with him doing that. And so for us, how do we talk with people? How do we relate with people? And we're all different. Some people like to be teased. Some people don't like to be teased. I watched the grandson on Friday morning. And so do you guys know what walking on feet is? Where you take the little person, put them on your feet and walk? His brother, I could never get to do that. I don't think he trusted me that I was not going to drop him. And his cousin Sophia will never let me do that. But Ronan, who's two, once I did it and he figured it out, then for the next 30 minutes when we would stop, he'd go, "More, more." And so I don't know what the difference is. I do it the same way. But for me and him, I'm guessing we're going to get to walk around his house on a pretty regular basis with him on my feet. And right now, because he only weighs like 25 pounds, it's not really a problem. If he gets up to like 100, 150, then that's going to be an issue. And so that's the way that apparently he and I are going to, one of the things that we're going to play. But as each grandchild is different, each of us are different in the way that we relate to people. And so however you deal with friends and family and strangers, figure that out and try to find a way to lift them up. And the last thing he talks about is here is whatever the Holy Spirit's leading you to do, make sure that when you're trying to do something, that you're not acting against it. Now, sometimes that's easy. Because you go back to the beginning, if you're not being honest with who you work for, if you're not being honest with your family, then you know you're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. If you're doing something and it seems like that's what you're supposed to be doing, just go to prayer, think about it, to make sure that that's what God is asking you to do. Because sometimes we get confused. We think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, but maybe we're not exactly doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so what I would suggest to you is be open to the Spirit of the Lord, how it moves you, how it leads you, so that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And if you get off the track, be willing to change. I always say that nobody likes the C word, change. Because it's easier to do what you've always done than to do something different. And so be open to God. Let God change you the way that God wants to change you. Amen? Let us pray. Father, be with us as we go out into your world. Let us be led by your Holy Spirit. Let us find people. Let us lift them up. Let us find ways to bring people closer to you, to know your love and your grace that you are willing to share with us if we open our hearts and minds to you. Amen.